when you say Merry Christmas? What do you mean when you say Merry Christmas? What are you wishing the people? What are you wishing someone? Blessings, right? Happiness, joy, peace, and so many others. So many others. So, we are going to formally wish ourselves Merry Christmas. You know, Christmas has its own spirit, right? It does have its own spirit. That is why we say the most wonderful time of the year. Most wonderful time of the year. You know, it suddenly comes on us and the atmosphere changes. You know, people become sweeter. People become more pleasant, friendlier, and so on and so forth. So we're going to stand now and sing Merry Christmas to one another. Wish one another Merry Christmas. Because Christmas actually puts us in touch with our common brotherhood, our common humanity, our common sisterhood. Amen? So, can we stand? If you don't stand, no problem. You know, for some reason you might not want to stand. So let us just stand and sing it. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
This is the best time to reflect on this new huge mystery we call incarnation. That is, the fact that God, the second person of the Trinity, took human flesh and became human and became man. And I guess the reason why this is the best time to do that, it's when all hearts are really open. We become more perceptive. You know, we can easily listen or receive. So this is really the best time to do that. Remember, I told you when I gave that Christmas message last weekend. You know, bulletin has it where I said that the Christmas is the one time, the long calendar of the year, when we open our shut-in hearts to one another. You know, like I said just now, that we become friendlier. You know, we can easily do good. It's almost like saying we can easily do good at this time. And so, therefore, our reflection will dwell on the nativity scene with particular reference made to the shepherds mentioned in the nativity story. Throughout the season of Advent, the prophet Isaiah spoke of Jesus, the Messiah, and of his special mission to the whole world. And he called him Wonder Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. So he goes on to tell us too that this powerful one, Jesus Christ, would eventually do away with all wars and bring a universal peace that will last forever. Now the question is, who is this person? Who is this? Because here, Isaiah tells us that it is a mere child, a babe newly born. But where can he be found? It's no other than this babe we see tonight lying on the crib, the one about whom the angel said to Mary and Joseph, you must call him Jesus because he is the one who is to save his people from their sins. What does that mean? To save them from their sins. And here it goes on to give us the purpose of his mission under this same concept, sins. He says, he will free all men and women from the most ruthless of all tyrants. And that is the devil himself, who is the father of sin, the father of lies, and so on and so forth. Jesus will break the chains of sin that rendered men and women slaves, and we continue to be subject to that kind of position, you know, addicted to all kinds of things, and we are helpless in situations like that. And so Jesus has come as the power of God in our midst to bring about that freedom we need. Now, Jesus will also bring men and women the light they will need to find their way back to God. The light they need to find their way back to God. Remember, the readings today say that the people that live in darkness have seen a great light. Those under the shadow of death, a light has shone, and that's Jesus. And it goes on to say too that Jesus will fill the heart of everyone with God's own joy and peace. God's own joy and peace. We are going to see how the shepherds receive all of this thing, step by step. So this is no small task. It is a task that needs all the wisdom and the power of God. And Jesus, this child, apparently so weak, lying in the manger, longs to carry it out and carry it out in us even tonight. Tonight, it can happen tonight because God wastes no time. He uses every opportunity to draw his children to himself. On being born that night, Jesus actually began his work of salvation right away. He began it with the shepherds. Shepherds at the time of Jesus did not enjoy a good reputation. Living as they did most of the time in the countryside with their flocks, they seldom attended the synagogue or observed the Sabbath rest. They were ignorant of the law of Moses and even careless to observe its prescriptions. They were considered thieves, and so they often were. It was with such people that Jesus began his work of salvation on being born. So, what did Jesus offer to the shepherds? What did he give them? The process began by first. Jesus gave them light because that's how he starts. You first receive the light of heaven, the light of grace, to begin to see clearly and notice things and see things differently. So that is why the glory of the Lord showed around them. Then it showed bright in front of their eyes, but it showed still brighter within their own hearts. Then Jesus gave them joy. I bring you news of great joy, said the angel. The shepherds could not understand what was happening within themselves. They had never experienced such joy before. Then Jesus gave them peace. Peace to men whom God loved, sang the angels. God loves them even more precisely because they were despised by men. Did Jesus ask something from the shepherds? Did he ask something from the shepherds? Yes, he did. Jesus asked from them faith. And how did that happen? Jesus tested their faith in the message he gave them. He said to them, here is a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lie in a manger. And that's the way it goes with God. That even in our own time, let's take the case of the Eucharist. You know, during the period of consecration, when the priest pronounces the words of consecration on the bread and the wine, these are all signs. They are signs. But it takes only faith for us to believe in the real presence of the Eucharist. Just as these people believe, just seeing a mere child, they believe that this was the Savior. Ordinarily, one would ask how this can be possible. Could a babe in a manger be the Savior of the world? To be born in a manger is a sign of belonging to a very poor family and of nothing better. Isn't that the strange way it goes with God? He usually manifests himself and his power in what the world considers insignificant, weak, and small. However, that night the angel went away and the light disappeared altogether. The shepherds could have protested, saying, "Angel, please do not go away. Show us the way to the child." But they didn't do that. Fortunately for them, the shepherd did not object but believed. He hurried away and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And because they believed, Jesus went on with his work of saving them. You see, belief is important, very, very important. Because they believed, Jesus went on with his work of saving them. The shepherds went back to their flocks and to their hard life, but their life would never be the same again. Truly, the birth of Jesus was for them the beginning of their own salvation. Like the shepherds, we too are presented by Jesus with a gift today, tonight. It is the gift of him. But in exchange for this unique gift, which is himself, Jesus demands something from us too, as he did from the shepherds. The Apostle Paul, in the second reading of today, puts Jesus' request as follows. Give up everything that does not lead to God. Have no ambition than to do good always. Well, a positive response to that requires faith on our path. It requires faith on our path. It is all about welcoming this babe into our lives and allowing him to lead us on daily basis. On daily basis. He is the power of God with us. And with him, we can transform situations for the better. Our own personal situations and the situations around us. Christmas ought to be for us all a feast to pass from slavery to freedom of liberation, from war to peace, from darkness to light, and from sadness to joy. Because Christians are supposed to be people of joy all the time because they have Jesus with them. They have the power of God with them. And because they have the power of God, they can do the impossible. The impossible can take place in their lives. Now, rejoicing at the thought of all that Jesus had done all that done and will continue to do to save us. And so I say to all of you once again, very Merry Christmas.